Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, often in life, people are faced with the question, whose side are you on? Sometimes it's about something that's relatively unimportant in the big scheme of things. Somebody might bring up one of the football games being played today or the college game tomorrow and ask who you're for, whose side you're on in the game. Sometimes it's about an issue being faced in the community or the nation. An election's coming up and people are faced with the decision of whom to support, whose side they're going to be on in the election. In this morning's scripture readings, we are presented with two very important versions of the question, whose side are you on? As in our gospel reading about the baptism of Jesus, the focus is on the question, whose side is Jesus on? And in our epistle reading about our own baptism, the focus is on the question, whose side are we on? And thankfully, as we'll see, the answers that were given to those questions are very good news for us. When the time had come for Jesus to begin his public ministry, he began by coming to the Jordan River where John the Baptist was baptizing. More specifically, John was baptizing sinners. We're told that the baptism to which John was calling people was a baptism into repentance for the forgiveness of sins. It was a baptism for sinners, for the forgiveness of their sins. And that's why John was understandably surprised and hesitant when Jesus came and asked to be baptized. Jesus was guilty of no sin, so why would he ask John to baptize him? If anything, it seemed like it should be the other way around, which is exactly what John thought, as he humbly said to Jesus, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus said that he should nonetheless be baptized, saying to John, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." So, what did Jesus mean by that? Jesus was saying that his being baptized was part of God's righteous plan for our salvation. This, Jesus being baptized by John, was part of how God's righteous plan for us was going to be fulfilled. But how exactly was that so? Well, to understand how Jesus' baptism fits into God's plan for us and for our salvation, we need to remind ourselves just what exactly that plan was. What was God's plan for saving us? His plan was to give his only begotten Son for us. God the Father gave his Son, Jesus, to save us. But to be more specific, God the Father sent God the Son to save us by being our substitute, by taking the burden of our sins upon himself and ultimately paying for our sins in our place as our substitute on the cross. Jesus came to receive what we sinners deserve so that we sinners could instead receive blessings that we do not deserve. By receiving John's baptism, Jesus was showing that he was fully committed to that plan. He was embracing his mission of being our substitute. He was taking his stand alongside us. He was identifying himself with us sinners whom he had come to save. By receiving a baptism that was meant for sinners, Jesus was saying that in order to save us, he was willing to be numbered among us sinners. That while he had no sins of his own, he was willing to shoulder the responsibility for all of our sins. So in his baptism, Jesus was taking his stand alongside all of us sinners, and saying, I am with them. If this baptism is for them, then it's for me too. I am on their side. Jesus came to us, became one of us, and stood alongside us so that he could take our place under the law, to save us from the law's judgment, to save us from sin, from death, and from hell. Jesus ultimately completed that mission on the cross, where he himself paid the full price for all our sins. And that is the mission, the task, that he was committing himself to in his baptism in the Jordan. So now, if in his baptism, Jesus was coming to our side, then what happens in our baptism? In our baptism, Jesus embraces us and pulls us to his side. In his baptism, Jesus was saying, I am with them. In our baptism, Jesus is saying, now they are with me. In his baptism, Jesus was saying, I am on their side. In our baptism, Jesus is saying, now they are on my side. At Jesus' baptism, God the Father spoke from heaven, saying, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And the Father was especially pleased with Jesus that day, as he saw Jesus embracing his role as our Savior from sin. At our baptism, God the Father says of us, this is my beloved child, with whom I am well pleased. And in this case, the Father is pleased with us, again, because of Jesus. The Father is pleased with us because Jesus has taken away our sins, and we have now been covered in his righteousness, so that having been baptized into Christ, we now stand before God, forgiven, righteous, and holy in God's sight, as his children with whom he is truly well pleased. As we read in Galatians, all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Your sins have been washed away, and you have been wrapped in the robe of Christ's righteousness. When you think of Jesus' baptism, you can picture Jesus going into the Jordan River, pure and holy, and then having our sins poured over him through the waters of the Jordan. Because in his baptism, Jesus was associating himself, identifying himself with us sinners. And then when you think of your own baptism, you can picture yourself taking your sins with you to the font, and then having forgiveness and righteousness poured over you through the waters of holy baptism, as your sins are all washed away, and you are clothed with Christ's righteousness. In Jesus' baptism, the Holy Spirit descended from heaven to Jesus in the form of a dove. And in our baptism, the Holy Spirit also comes to us personally. He doesn't come in visible form as he did at Jesus' baptism. But the Holy Spirit's coming to us is every bit as real. And that's why the Bible describes baptism as a washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. But there it is, the Holy Spirit who is washing us, making us new people. The Holy Spirit descended to Jesus, identifying him as God's only begotten Son and anointing him as our Savior. And the Holy Spirit comes to us, marking us as God's children by grace and bringing us the salvation that Christ won for us. In this washing of rebirth and renewal, the Holy Spirit comes to us with the power to give us new life and make us new people, to plant faith in Christ where it is not yet present, and to strengthen and confirm faith in Christ where it is already present. The Holy Spirit comes to us to make us living branches grafted into the true vine, Jesus Christ. So now, having considered Jesus' baptism, and having considered our own baptism, let us finally consider what all of this means for us today. That means a great deal. First, as you look back to Jesus' baptism and see him there taking his stand alongside us sinners, showing there his commitment to saving us from our sins no matter what it would cost him, look and see that Jesus wasn't doing that just for sinners in general. He was doing that for each individual sinner. He was doing that for you. As there in the waters of the Jordan, Christ was committing himself to taking responsibility for all of your sins and to bearing all of those sins to the cross to save you. So look to the Jordan where Jesus embraced that mission of being your Savior. Look to the cross where he completed that mission. Look to his empty tomb, where he showed that that mission was indeed accomplished. And see there the assurance that you have a mighty Savior who is fully committed to your eternal good. In a world that is quick to judge and does not like to give second chances, find comfort in knowing that in Jesus you have a faithful, forgiving Savior who is on your side. A Savior who knew all of your sins, and knowing all those sins, would not turn away from you, but instead set himself on the path to the cross so that there he could pay the price for all of your sins so that you could have the peace of forgiveness. And then rest in that peace of forgiveness that he has won for you. As you then look back to your own baptism and what the Lord did for you there, see the forgiveness that Christ won for you on the cross being poured out on you personally. Hear the Father assuring you that you are his beloved, forgiven child with whom he is well pleased. And know that the Lord who graciously drew you to his side in your baptism can be trusted to hold you in his grace. In a world where we so often aren't sure who or what we can count on, know that you can always count on the Lord and his baptismal grace towards you. And finally, know one more thing about what the Lord has done for you in your baptism. Know that when God declared you his beloved child by grace, he not only drew you to himself, he brought you into a family. A family that spans the earth and extends into heaven. A family of brothers and sisters in Christ who share the same Father, and whom the Father has given to each other to be there for each other, to share with one another the love and forgiveness that he has first given us, so that no Christian should ever think that they are alone, that there is no one on their side committed to their good. Regardless of whose side you're on in the football games today and tomorrow, and regardless of whose side you end up being on when elections roll around later this year, whether or not your side wins in those contests ultimately is not the most important thing. No one's team wins every time. And when it comes to elections, while we should indeed seek wise, just, faithful leaders, we also need to remember that throughout history, God has taken care of his people during the times of good leaders and bad, and that we can be sure he will continue to care for us no matter who holds whatever office. And far, far more important than those things, those contests whose outcomes we don't yet know, far more important are these things that we do know. That you have a Savior who is fully committed to your salvation. A Savior who committed himself to you in his baptism and who died for you on the cross. And that the forgiveness and salvation he died to win for you is now yours. The forgiveness poured out on you in your baptism. The salvation that is yours in Christ Jesus, the friend of sinners, your Savior. In his holy saving name, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.